for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Wednesday evening, July the 7th, 2010. Angelo Rosario is the speaker of this service teaching on God's children.
May the blessings of the Lord be with us. You know, in God's time and in His heaven, there's no night or no day.
Amen.
His beautiful light shines continuously every day. And He touches every flower, every bush, every drop of rain is touched by God. And He touches us so that we may be able to be blessed by it. Because everything that He has created is for our well-being.
Amen.
It's so that we may be able to enjoy His creation. He made us in such a wonderful way that He made this human race, knowing that we were going to go through something, knowing that we were going to go through moments that were difficult, moments that we will be challenged. But He also knew that we were going to be victorious through it all, and that every day of our lives we continue to develop, to grow, so that we could grow in grace, grow in the love of God, grow in His Word, knowing that there is an enemy that is God's enemy first. The war started up in heaven, and God cast them out of heaven. God created the human race. One day He puts us in a wonderful, beautiful garden. And in that garden there was love, peace, joy, tranquility. I have not found out yet how many thousands of years Adam was in the garden by himself. I have not found out yet how many years Ham and Eve were in the garden by themselves. I have not found it out. There are many lines of thought. And the lines of thought, they're just lines of thought. I know that God created man and woman. I know that He created a family. And I know that being God's family, created by His power, the enemy hated us and still hates us. And God made a way so that you and I may be able to be victorious. When man and woman disobeyed, God made a way.
Amen.
When man made a mistake, God made it right and gave us a promise that through the seed of a woman, we were going to be saved. If you look in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, Paul gives us an exhortation in a wonderful word. And the divine order of the unity of a man and a woman. And He gives us this word. To the woman as being deceived, notwithstanding this transgression, she should be saved in childbirth. Many times people believe that that's because a woman got to continue to have hundreds and thousands of children. But there was a promise made to Eve that through her seed, we were going to be saved. That through her seed, a child was going to be born that was going to step on the head of the serpent. That enemy has been around for a long, long time against the family, trying to separate the husband, the wife, and the children, trying to destroy us all. God made a promise back then in the beginning. Now we could ask, what beginning? We was at the beginning of the heavens and the creation of angels and cherubims and seraphims? Or did God make that promise to man knowing that he had failed? Now, in the afterthought of God, God already knew that we were going to fail. Before the world was created, God already knew. And he had made a plan. And the reason he made that plan, because he knew that Satan, the enemy, was going to be after us all our lives. That no matter what you call yourself or what doctrine you were following, he was going to go after you to bring destruction. See, many times we think, oh, he's after me. No, he's after the human race. The problem that there is that you and I are part of the human race. We all go through it. He wants your children, but he can't have them. We are the ones that have to fight and believe and trust. There are things that we have to do in order for us to receive the blessing of a child born of a woman. And you know what's amazing? That is a repeated story. I was a child first in my family, born of a woman. My daughter is the first of my childs. Angela is the last. But it goes on. The story repeats itself because she had children. And the others have had children. And probably one day in the very near future, my daughter's going to have children, the youngest one. It continues on. And the enemy continues trying to bring destruction. We have demonologies all around us. But so are angels all around us. Amen. Angels that protect our family. If there's a devil behind every bush, there's an angel in front of the bush. If there's a devil trying to destroy us, there's a God that has consuming fire out of the bush. A God that is able to say that he has come to set the captives free. Many times we don't understand how God works. I'm still trying to understand him. I'll be 66 on my next birthday, a couple of months. But the reality is that I still don't understand how God works in the last 55 years. But I'm trying to understand, knowing this, that even when we are not called to do something, but we know what we are supposed to be doing to help somebody else, we should do it. Not wait to be told. I love Moses' wife, because I love my wife. She's pretty good, you know. She's a blessing. God is better, but after God comes her. Because what else do you have? But Moses, being a great man of God, he didn't know it all. And the enemy was trying to kill him even with religious things. And sometimes we forget what we're supposed to be doing even in our calling with God. And we forget that he was supposed to circumcise his children. And God got angry. God gets angry. He said, you know what? I told you what to do, and you forgot. And you know, I don't know how she found out about it. There must have been a whispering angel that whispered into her ear, I'm going to take your husband, because he didn't do what he was supposed to do. She wasn't the priest. She wasn't the one that was called to do the circumcision so that they could follow the law of that time, the Abrahamic law. But she heard and she went and she filed the rock. Could you imagine? And with a stone circumcised. And you could hear the yelling and the screaming. Because when the Lord is cutting something off us, circumcising the heart, circumcising the sin, sometimes there is pain. Pain that we don't understand. But we know that God is working through the pain. God is working through that moment to give us salvation to the family. See, God is interested in the family. We are the family of God. You are your brother's keeper. You are not your brother's critic. You are your brother's keeper. We have a new covenant. A covenant of love.
Amen.
That gives birth to compassion. That gives birth to understanding. We have a covenant of love that means that through that love, I should want to lay my life down for you. And you for me. Not to look and find what are the weaknesses. What are the mistakes that are in our life? What is positive in your life? Do you know that you have more positive than negative stuff? God is on a journey. The journey that He started since the beginning of the foundation of the earth. To tear down the strongholds of the enemy. Family. Believe it or not, Ron, stand up. Stand up for a moment, sir. Come here, man. This is my brother. Would you believe it or not? One day he was like one of those little kids there. And so was I. One day he was sitting with little short pants. Right there. And look how he grew up to be so handsome and so beautiful. Look at him good, because one day, this is who you're going to be. Oh, you're going to be like me? Or like Brother Jim? He must have been a bad little boy. Is he? Isn't it all funny? He grew up. Everyone grows up. Thank you for growing up to be a man of God.
Amen.
In our walk with God, we must understand that there are things in your life, and there are things in my life, and there are things in Jim's life that are bad, but they're different. And that we have one Redeemer that is trying to give us an understanding so that we can make a decision, so that the Holy Spirit may be able to come to embody us, to help us to get victorious. Why? Well, evil dwells in your flesh. Evil is all around you. But God did not create it in that form in the beginning. But God is in a battle against a fallen angel that has thousands of fallen angels that are trying to destroy the human race. And there's one Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? Chief of all the spirits. That is there giving us a helping hand.
Amen.
If you and I need something today, is to get into this word. One. Secondly, probably lock yourself up in a room for a couple of days or a couple of moments and cry in the presence of God that He may fill us with the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is not just to speak in tongues. It's a wonderful thing to have the experience of speaking in tongues. It is called a gift of tongues. But please give me the gift of interpretation of tongues. Please give me the gift of miracles. Please give me the gift of knowledge. Please give me the gift of discernment. Don't stay stuck in one gift. It is a gift. And it is important for you and I to learn how to develop that gift. To allow that gift to continue to grow in us. So that we may be able to use the gift to take care of each other. That with those gifts that are in us, it becomes a shield against the powers of the enemy. Because when I need help, you come with that gift. The gift of knowledge and say, Bishop, the Lord laid this in my heart. Whether I receive it or not, you give it. I don't have to accept it. I have to discern it. Because the enemy, through my flesh, is going to try to kill it. You see, I could give you a word of knowledge, but it's not going to be knowledge of the Spirit. It's the knowledge of reality. Your homes are always in danger. You don't know if you wake up tomorrow with an infection. You don't know what's going to happen. God forbid we don't know if the enemy is going to come tomorrow to try to take my wife. Take me or take my children. I rebuke him in whose name? In Jesus' name. But through prayer, honest prayer in the presence of God, God will never forsake us. He will always have a prophet. He will always give us a word. Every child that is here, including us, the grown-ups, we're made different. God has to minister to us in a different form. But the Holy Spirit is one. The Holy Spirit is one that knows everyone. And He will give us a word. You know that I was asking the Lord many, many years back when my daughter was born. My second one was born. My third one was born. I was praying for a boy. He kept giving me girls. I thought there was something wrong with me. I prayed again and God gave me another girl. And another girl. And I said, wow. And then I asked, Lord, how do I bring them up? And I never forget that God said, train them. Train them in my word. I didn't know how to go about it, how to help them. So I cried out to God again. And the Lord said, take him with you. Walk with them through the field. Walk with them when you go out. Keep them close to you. Don't say anything. Let them see. Let them experience. And I remember this one. She would not leave me alone. She would hang on to me a little bit like that. Even when she was a baby. I would take a mission trip to Puerto Rico with me. A little baby. Changing a little pamper. You know, brushing her off. People would look at me like if I was crazy. But at the moment, I was praying for her and with her. And when you believe that, as much as a blessing as she was to me, she don't know this because she was a little ugly kid. I just prayed her to get beautiful. My brother was telling me at the table that she's beautiful, that she has a beautiful personality. I said, sure, she looked like her father. So not a big deal. But that's the word says train a child. And then they told the child what to do. You got to explain and you got to be able to be an example. I haven't always been a perfect example. So, you know, I made mistakes. I guess Adam made mistakes too. But I don't want to use that as an excuse. Because I know who I'm battling them against. But I know that by grace of God, if I have gained anything in life, I think I gained my family. And sometimes I get emotional because my children do serve the Lord. My grandchildren do serve the Lord. My brothers, they serve the Lord. They may not be perfect, but they serve the Lord. The enemy has tried to bring them down and to destroy them. But in their heart, there is a God. The same God that was in those men of yesterday that made mistakes and that the enemy tried to destroy them. But you know where we're going? We're going to heaven. We're going to the kingdom of God. Every time you turn around and you feel that the enemy is after you, don't worry. Tell him, get on behind me, Satan, in the name of Christ. Every time you feel that there's something negative trying to manifest, tell him, in the name of Jesus, I command you, be gone right now. You can talk to him the same way he talks to you. You talk to him in the name of Jesus. When I feel down and out, I tell that sorry party that's going on inside of me, get up and get out. And I tell him three times. And all of a sudden, I feel that I'm back in paradise. God will move you through time and space to put you in the presence of a living God where the enemy cannot go in. You have been delivered by the word and by the power of his might. You have been delivered of the curse that was upon us through the death and resurrection of Jesus. As he hung on the cross, you've been delivered from the curse. The effects of the curse may be there, but you've been delivered. The manifestations of the curse are still around. You may be able to see them, but they can't touch you. Because there is a new Redeemer named Jesus. And He came to redeem the human race. Not the fallen angels. Not the cherubims, not the seraphims, but to redeem us. I want you to know that. And I say this quite often. I think I say this in every message that I preach. If religion was to save us, we'd be in paradise. Because God is more than a religion. If you take any place, any state, country you go to, every 50 square block, there's more than 30 houses of worship. Worshiping one way or another. Right, wrong, or indifferent. And then ask yourself, who's right? The only one that's right is God. And if you and I have been chosen by the Lord, then there is something in you that is different from religion. It is the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God gives birth to something that is called love. Love conquers all things. You know how deep love is? That you can love your enemies. That you could even love those that persecute you. That means those that don't understand you, because there's a spirit in you that overcomes this world. The Spirit of God. You have heard many a time that the prince of this world is Satan. I rebuke him in the name of Jesus. But there's a new king that's been crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the prince got to bow down. You hear what I'm saying? Got to bow down to the king. No matter which way we look at it, he has to bow down. And the moment I go to the king and say, the prince is messing with me, he got to give an account to the king. And God sends his angels to arrest him. Come here, boy. Come here, boy. Why are you messing with Bishop Rosario? Matter of fact, he has a pet name for me. He has a new name for me. He has a name that nobody else knows, praise be to God. And he called me by that pet name. And he said, why are you messing with me? Boom, 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 boom. Whatever name he has for me. Because you know how you call your children, your friends, with little nice names. Hi, honey. She may be as bitter as a pill, but she's honey. Everyone has a pet name. But God has a name for us. And for all of us, we are God's children. You know what a father does for his children? He protects them. He helps them. God did not leave you by yourself. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit. Let me put this, see if I could put it in this way. A woman gave birth to you. And God created you. But on the day of resurrection, God gave birth to a new spirit that is put in us, called the Spirit of the Living God. And now you are protected with that spirit. So you can renounce every other spirit that tries to come your way. Because God is the only one that can give you good things. The reason that sometimes we are in many of our problems is because we make wrong decisions.
Yes, that's
true. And wrong decisions are sin. And wrong decisions have consequences. And consequences will stay with you for a little while. Until someone comes and bails you out. The only time you need a good lawyer is when you really messed up. You got a lawyer named Jesus.
Right.
And if anyone has sinned and comes short of the glory of God, a lawyer we have unto the Father. And who's your accuser? Satan is right there. He's trying to put all those consequences on you. He don't want you to be happy with your mate. He really don't. He doesn't want you to be happy with your children. He doesn't want you to be happy with your church. He doesn't want you to be happy with anything. But God is on a journey. I'm thanking God that he's not a Pentecostal. I'm thanking God he's not Catholic. I'm thanking God that he's not a Baptist. I'm thanking God he's not a Methodist. I'm thanking God that he's not Puerto Rican. I'm thanking God that he's not black, yellow, or blue. have, you don't study. To know the Word of God. You cannot have faith if you don't ask God, can I be your vessel? So that He may be able to prepare you and put you in the area that you should be. You know, one of the problems that we have, even some of our ministers, and I bless them in the name of the Lord, out there in the internet, they may not be here, but I hope they understand that I'm not against them, because then I'd be against myself. But one of the problems that we have is that we forget the office that God has called us to be. If God has called me to be a cook, why should I be a shoemaker? And if God called me to be a shoemaker, why should I be a cook? If God called me to be a pastor, why am I an evangelist? If God called me to be an evangelist, why should I be a teacher?
Come on, Bishop.
Now, if God gave me the gifts and said, I'm going to make you a pastor, but there are times you're going to have to evangelize your church, you got to change the offices. If God has not put an evangelist in your church, you better go pray and get the spirit of evangelist so you can evangelize your church. So that you may be able to motivate them. Because teaching and teaching and teaching is going to knock you down. Sooner or later, the people are going to get tired. You get tired of going to school.
Absolutely.
You want to be able to go swimming or do something else. An evangelist comes to be able to bless the church. So that it motivates you. It teaches you. It puts different spices in there, mixes them all together to break the stronghold of the enemy. God is an awesome God. That's why He has all those offices in there. And with the office of the pastor, the bishop, that is also in the scriptures. See, a bishop is not, he goes out, he could preach and teach, but his main office is to be able to help other pastors, other leaders, people that are coming up, to be able to train them so that they don't fall in the same empty pool that he has fallen into. That he may be able to set them free from the power of the enemy. Let me do this. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. Let's see. The Apostle Paul is a good friend of mine. I had a good conversation with him the other day. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman. Made under the law. Made of who? Of a man? Of a woman. See, you women don't know the blessings that you have in you. And sometimes us men don't appreciate the blessing that is in you women. Because without you women, we wouldn't be here. Because God didn't make Adam and Steve. And if He had done that, He would have created a way for me to come into this world. But God has order. And He does not change His order. The devil tries to change what God has established. So we have to be able to go back that one day out of a woman. In the fullness of time, God sent someone according to law. Look, we criticize law. And we forget and we inherit grace. But don't you know that they walk hand in hand? That the first order of heaven is law. And that without law, there's no civilization. Without law and regulation, there's no understanding. There's law here in the camp. There's law in my house. There's law in my church. Probably a little different than here. But we have to respect the law that is put down. God gave us law so that we could understand good from evil. And we could not live the law. Why? Because we have fallen under condemnation. So God gave grace. Because the enemy was messing with us continually. No man could keep the law. There was so much law that they needed extra books. Every law in the Ten Commandments gives birth to 5 or 6 other laws. It keeps creating. One day there was a young man named Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Born of a woman. Not just anyone chosen by God. She was a woman that loved God, respected God. But I'm going to tell you another little secret. Thank God for her parents. Thank God for her parents. A lot of people say, oh, she was such a good woman. She had a good father and a good mother. She had someone that was an example that was able to train her up in the way that she should go. She wasn't good just because she was born good. Because the word says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we forget that there must have been a good grandmother too. Hallelujah. And a good grandpa. Maybe not perfect, but good. Someone that loved God, someone that trained them in the word. Taught them to what? To pray. Taught them to be holy unto God. Because with the holiness of God, the Spirit of God is upon you, the enemy can't come in. You know why they say that Christians cannot be possessed? Because two spirits cannot live in the same body. An evil spirit and a good spirit. But when you are breaking the law of God and not walking in the ordinance of the Lord, the Holy Spirit says, he can't live in an unholy body. And you and I make that choice. You got to open up that faucet and close it. Whether it's cold water or hot water. The Holy Spirit gives us a free will to choose that we want to choose to walk in His Word. And in order for you and I to walk in His Word, we got to know it. Somebody got to teach us. Because when I was born, somebody had to teach me to say, Papa, Mama. They had to teach me because I didn't know. If I was brought up by monkeys, I would say, I would limit what I know.
Absolutely.
The environment that I'm in. But thank God I was brought up by a mother that said to me, say, Mommy, Papi. She spoke Spanish, that's why.
Okay.
But she taught me. And they taught me how to walk. I didn't come out of my mother's womb knowing how to walk. How to be taught. And you believe that there's an art to walking? You ever seen some people walking today and walk all the way with their pants all the way down here? They don't know how to dress. Something's wrong. When you look back at the family tree, we're going to break that curse of the family tree. When we look back at it, we find that the family is breaking down completely from God. There's no teaching. There's no more revelation. There's no devil. There's no demons. There's no sin. There's no hate. There's no evil. Everything goes. So society continues to tumble down. But God is still on the road to try to save humanity. In the fullness of time, God done something to redeem them that were under the law, that were made that they may receive the adoptions of sons. One day, God sent His Son to redeem us, even from the law. Thank God for grace.
Amen.
And mercy.
Amen.
The revelation that we have the authority and the power to overtake the powers of the enemy. You know what? Adultery? A demon that adulterates anything that it touches. Now we could say adultery is between a man or a woman that are married and they break the covenant. But if I put Kool-Aid in water, I adulterated the water. If I put coffee and put milk, I adulterated the coffee. I added another substance to it. When we adulterate the word of God, we committed adultery. We lose the substance of whatever that is. You ever go to a restaurant and have a nice dinner, and the chef just made a tremendous dinner for you? He flavored it out perfect. And you're paying $19, $20 for that food that you're eating. And all of a sudden you come and throw ketchup on it. You adulterated the perfection of what he just finished doing. I was just, give me that, man. Don't eat nothing. You just messed up a whole day's work. What I prepared in perfection for you. You may not like it. Why? Because your palates do not taste the same. See, to some people, God's word, it doesn't taste right. The Bible said that we got to eat the book. And it will be bitter to our mouth and sweet to our stomach. So we got to eat the book so that the book could give birth to a new character, to a new way of life, to a new understanding, to a new form of treating those that have not had the experience of receiving the word. Don't come giving me a piece of steak when I can't chew and I don't got no teeth. Don't give it to me. You're going to kill me. We got to do that with children and we got to do it with seniors. That's why I'm asking that I don't lose my teeth. I want to hang them back down. You know? But what am I saying? The word of God is spiritual and we're not. We're carnal. Moving to a spiritual range. Because we were spiritually what? Dead. And God had to give us spiritual resurrection. Now you're a dual person. Living here and eating chili. And eating hot dogs. And eating the word. So it can sustain who you are inside. You want victory? Eat the book. You want victory? Listen to what Jesus said. Pray, fast, and read the book. Do you know, and I pray that we understand this, that you do not get confused, that the apostles, when they were with Jesus, they were not reading the book.
That's right.
Because the book wasn't there.
That's right.
Jesus was the book.
He was
the incarnated word of the living God. Hallelujah. And he was standing before them. And he was telling them what to do and how to do it. And he was teaching them how to go about it. Did they make mistakes even having the incarnated book standing in front of them? Yes, they did. But one thing they got. Lord, what can we do? He said, pray and fast. And there are things that will not ever, ever change in your life if it ain't through prayer and fasting. Prayer to know God's will. And that God's will be done in your life. When you know that you need to be able to do God's will, is when you start to pray, Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Something happens to you and to me and to all of us. See, whatever evil is in us that we've been touched by it, got to get up and got to go out. And it may not end up, and they go. They always try to return because those spirits don't die. They just don't die. And they keep trying to come back. So that means that you got to try to continue to stay on the mark. So when they come back, they say, I can't get in there. I've been trying for a year to get back in there. And I can't. I've been trying for 2 years to get in there. And I can't. And when the moment, if God forbid you, get out of prayer. Get out of fasting. You got to get deliverance. The other day, I come to Jim and say, Jim, pray for me. Cast this out. I felt something. Boom. It grabbed me. And I had to say, Jim, and who am I? I'm Bishop Rosario. Titles don't make no difference. Titles are something that God gives for an office that you've been called to serving. And those titles are important wherever you go. There are times that you need to be able to dress the part. You cannot go to the White House like this with slippers and say, here I am, Obama, let me in.
Yeah.
You got to know, you cannot go to a wedding distressed any old way. Even in the parable, it says that God had a robe for him. And he dressed them up. And he looked down and he said, wow, these are all my people. They're in the Air Force. And they walked in dressed. And there was one that came in late. And there was not a robe for him. And they said, buy him and put him out. We need to understand why God has created these things. In every area. There are times that God has made a miracle and said, are you a pastor? I said, yeah, how do you know? I remember one day we were going to a park and I had my short sleeves on and had this big Mexican hat on, tangerines, and oh, we're going to the park to play ball. And I walk into this place, I look like a hood. I didn't walk in. I want 2 cases of soda. Give me 3 Pepsis and 2 Cokes. Guy's looking at me, you know, and I'm natural. And he looked at me, he kept looking at me. I don't know what this guy looking at. He must be funny or something. Yeah. And he says to me, "Man, Chancellor, are you a pastor?" I said, "How do you know?" He said, "There's something about you." And I said, "Yes, I am. I mean, my attitude changed in a moment's time." Pulled me back to my office. Pulled me back to where I should be. But there are times that that doesn't happen. We got to know how to play the part according to the Word of God. Well, in the fullness of time. Let me just go down to the next one. To redeem those that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. Ain't it good to be adopted into the family of God? Let me tell you, Jim, are you my father? If you were my father, and Ron was trying to beat me and somebody, would you defend me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And if he was cursing me out and you were there, would you defend me?
Yes, sir.
So you think that if God is our father and the devil is trying to curse us, he's not going to defend us?
Oh.
And it said that he is always with us,
yes,
especially when we're trying to live faithful for God. There's a spiritual battle. He is trying to put curses on us. A curse is something that is opposite to something that is good. And that curse, he has been trying to put it on mankind. See, women are a blessing. They're tremendous. But I said the other day, I don't know if you remember, that Adam was in that garden, I don't know how many years by himself. I rebuked Satan in the name of Jesus. I don't like to mention his name. And when you mention his name, don't play with him. Rebuke him in the name of the Lord. Because you should not have him rolling off the tip of your tongue. Because people talk about it like if he was nothing. No, rebuke him in the name of Jesus. He is a powerful being, but God is almighty.
Yes.
And you got to know the difference. And when you are able to walk in the garden back to paradise, God gives you that victory. But the day that God created Eve, he looked and said, I know how I'm going to get him. Now, I don't know either, Jim, if Eve and them, like I said before, weren't there 1,000 years. But for 1,000 years, he never showed up. But one day, he showed up. And he established a conversation. Let me say this. Don't establish no conversations with no demons. Or with the enemy. When something negative comes your way, and bad thoughts, or whatever comes your way, rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Stop it immediately. When someone tries to get fresh with you, stop it immediately.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, it will not escalate.
Right.
Don't wait. Don't flirt with it. Don't play with it. Because when you play with it, it's going to continue to build in your flesh. When was the last time you went and prayed for your children when they were asleep? And just whisper in their ear, "Jesus loves you." You know, my kids don't know. Every time they were sleeping, I sneak into their room. They didn't know. And I would whisper in their ear, "The Lord is your Lord." They didn't know. I walk into their room. And I had a little bit of oil in my hand. Oil is just a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And I would anoint their feet since they were little babies. And say, "May your feet walk towards the presence of God." And I walk out. And they know. They don't have to know. Because while you're asleep, God anoints you too. While you sleep, it said that the Spirit of God protects you while you sleep. And the angels are around you to protect you. Because I cannot protect it, but I know who my protector is. We give too much credit to the enemy. I rebuke him in the name of Jesus. I ain't giving him no credit. I don't care how much destruction he's bringing all over the world. I know who my protector is. I know who my redeemer is. Do you know? Do you live in fear that the enemy is going to take something from you? If you live in fear that the enemy is going to take something from you, it's because you love that more than God. Let it go.
Let it go.
Let it go. And let God be God in your life in the fullness of time. God is still manifesting. He's breaking the law, taking it off, but not taking it away. And because ye are sons, I'm glad he didn't say son, sons. Ain't that a beautiful thing?
Yeah.
Ladies, he means you too. Daughters of the Lord. Yeah. The word in the Old Testament says daughters of Jacob. But you are the daughters of the Lord. You belong to a royal priesthood.
Hallelujah.
You are the intercessors. You are our shields in the presence of God. You are our counselors. You are the ones that help us in our weaknesses, in our shortcomings, in our mistakes. You are the one that God made you strong so that you could carry us. You are the one that comfort us in our flesh, in our human nature. We are the one that try to give back from the many things that you give back to us. Because God made you special as a helpmate. Not a servant. Someone that to help us because we couldn't help ourselves. We needed help. Thank God for the Spirit of the Lord. Demons are all around. The airs are contaminated. Yes, they are. But I thank God that God is greater.
Amen.
And that the Spirit of the Lord is there. You know, the other night I was praying, and I remember I would say that when I first came here, I was praying in that corner. Jim had invited me up. And I saw angels all around this place. And I said, wow, this is awesome. And I started to cry before I felt the same thing, that God was all over the place. You see, what God's still going to do has not yet manifested yet. The seed has been planted. And the seed is ready to burst. Something got to die before it could grow. God is still burning. Giving birth to this place. It has not yet started. I may not even see it, but I will hear about it. Even if I'm not here on earth, I will hear about it in heaven. Because an angel will come up to heaven and say, look what's happening in Little Rock, Arkansas. Sometimes I don't know what I'm doing here. Pastoring. Sometimes I really don't know why I'm doing it from New York. God, hot spring. Jim, God put a word in Jim's mouth and pulled me from the Bronx, New York, to come here. Why? I really don't know. But you know what I know? I don't care. Because whatever God wants us to be, because we are His children, God is birthing something. And to be able to give birth to something, God is looking for holy seeds. There's a holy seed here. Planted. And God is still working. Let me finish it up. Oh, the time is going. I was going to start having fun. All right. We cry to Abba Father. We have a Father now. And through our spirit we cry. I want you matrimonies and grandparents to pray that God may fill your family with the spirit of righteousness. Not only upon you, but upon your family and those that are going to come after them. And that He brings a spirit of unity to the matrimonies. Because the battle that there is going on right now is against matrimonies, to destroy them, to tear them down. And when the matrimony tears down, also the enemy tears down our children. We have a calling by God. And there are people that are called to do certain things in the Lord. Do what God has called you to do. And then the other person that has in that marriage, pray for that person that's been called to do that. Because probably your job is just to pray. To pray and to hold on. Sometimes we get so excited. Oh, my wife is not with me in the ministry. My husband is not with me in the ministry. They don't know what God called you. Let your husband do what he's going to do. Minister Brunilda. Stand up, Minister Brunilda. This Minister Brunilda, Portuguese.
Amen.
Amen. Hey.
Hallelujah.
She is the pastor of my Spanish department in the church. But she also preaches in English and in Spanish. She preaches and teaches in other tongues too. According to the way the Spirit gives her. Her daughter Vicky is a deacon. Get a stand up, Vicky. In the church. She works with her mother completely. Her mother is the other deacon. Her mother prays for her and prays for the granddaughter. They work as a team together. She's in my English service also. The blessings of the Lord stay within the house. My problem is that God has given me too many women ministers. Where are my men ministers? But then when I look at it, God said, your wife is the pastor of the church. So I'm just supervising the church. Because she has all these women pastors. Pastor Melinda, Pastor Carmen Howell. All the deacons. You've seen them. They're tremendous women of God. When they're in the pulpit or they're teaching the word, there's neither male nor female. The same way that is in heaven. Who is that woman going to? Who's going to be her husband? She has had 7 husbands. She was something else. God bless her. That was the Lord. You know, if some brother died, they had to marry them. And on that day, whose wife is she going to be? There's going to be a fight. I'll be fighting. There's them coming up. What'd you do, man? You have my wife, I'll kill you, huh? The flesh. But the idea and the thing that is important, that in heaven, there is no matrimony. That is something of the flesh here so that we could procreate. There's an unadulterated love that flows. You see, you are my sister and my brother. I should love you like you're my family. I love opening up the doors for the ladies. Whether she's my wife, whether she's my mother, my friend, or you. I love still trying to pull a chair and pull it under. I don't care if she wants it or not. If she doesn't want it, I'm sorry, okay? But I try. Why? Because that's who we should be. There's a culture that has died. So independent that no one wants, not even God, to be able to give them a helping hand. And then we complain. No one does anything for me. No, God's been trying to do something for you for a long time. You got to change your attitude. You have a bad spirit. You have a bad attitude, and that's a demon. That demon got to go. Your attitude is no good. Not for you or for anybody else. You can't get along with no one. There's a bad spirit. That spirit got to go in the name of Jesus. Matter of fact, get up and get out right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Get out of that body and walk on out in Jesus' name. Amen. If you know that you have problems every place you go, tell it to get out of you right now. Yes. I don't have to lay hands on you all the time. The word of God is powerful enough to say, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And by the word and the finger of God, the demons got to go. You could be set free. You could be in your house and be set free. You need to be able to identify, Lord, how do I help my children? And children are bad. I don't know what to do with them. My mother didn't know what to do with me either, but thank God that God knew and set me free. I'm going to close it up in about 5 hours, so I'm going to close 3 times before. A family structure, it is the greatest gift that God could give anyone. God treated Israel as a family. When it says to take the word first to Jerusalem, that's the immediate family. To Samaria, those are the cousins and other extended family. And to the end of the world. God still works in the nucleus of a family. In Genesis 3:15, you already know that. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thou seed and her seed. It should bruise thou head. There's going to come a time, and it is already here, that enemy don't like him. God put enmity between both of them. There's a war going on all the time. But thank God that one day there was a swollen wound, and something came out of there named Jesus. Let me show you how God uses Jesus Christ to bring deliverance. And sometimes we think that we got to be foaming at the mouth or foaming at the ears or jumping and saying, there are times that that's going to happen. There are times that that is going to happen. But I was invited to City Hall to do an invocation with Mayor Bloomberg. And I know all the politicians and everybody there, and they bring me up to this big chair, and they sit me there, and they come, and I'm looking around. I see 56 city council people and the mayor coming in and everybody, and I'm sitting there. I thought I was King Louis. And you know, God said that He will put you in high places. And when He sent you there with a purpose. Now you got Muslims, Christians, Jews, Catholics, atheists, and crooks. So now you sit there, and all of a sudden somebody comes up by me and says to me, "Bishop, can you do me a favor?" And I said, "I will honestly try." She says to me, "When you pray, can you please don't pray in the name of Jesus? Because there are many different religions and denominations here. And people that don't..." I said, "But you know that I'm a Christian." And in that particular moment, I have my clergy collar on because I want them to know who I am. See, a collar represents Christianity, no matter which way, what label it may be or what denomination. But as I'm sitting there, I'm praying, "So, Lord, you got to break the stronghold of the devil here in the name of Jesus." And I said, "Lord, I truly do not want to be offensive. I truly do not want to hurt my Jewish brothers. I truly do not want to hurt my Muslim brothers. I truly do not want to hurt my atheist brothers. I truly don't want to hurt the agnostics." And I'm praying because I cry. When I cry, sometimes I was sitting there, how can I bring a message that could help these children that are here? That help us that are here. The world is in so much hurt, and sometimes we give them more hurt, and we need to break that spirit in the name of the Lord. And I hear the voice of the Lord that said, "I will lead you through the prayer." And I started to pray. In the beginning, God created us all, created governors and leaders. And the Lord says to pray for those that are in authority over us. And the Lord may give you wisdom and knowledge so that you may bring the programs and the blessings to the nations and to the country and to the city, that the seniors may be blessed, that the children may be blessed. And then I said, "Hey Lord, what do I say next?" He says, "Now you say, say in the name of Emmanuel, God with us." And then I reminded them as I'm walking out that that's what the angels call Christ when He was born. Emmanuel, God with us. So I said, "In the name of Emmanuel." And the rabbi ran up and shook my hand. He said, "I've never heard that. Because in doing, that means God with us." And I said, "I know He is with us." And I walked away in peace. Why? Because you're here to break the yoke. You're here to proclaim peace and deliverance to wherever God brings you. There will be chaos in them because they can't understand it. But you will be at peace because you are part of the King of Kings and the Prince of Peace that dwells in you. Hallelujah. The enemy will be in chaos. Hallelujah. But you won't. We got to step on the head of the enemy. He's a very wise, shrewd individual. But God is greater. If you take, and you could take these home with you, so that you may be able, Psalm 128, just read that whole psalm and you're going to see how your whole family fits in there. From verse 1 all the way down. You're going to see the blessings of your family, the blessings of the fruit of your labor. How God is going to bless you. Listen, whatever God bless, the devil can't curse. Whatever God has blessed, the devil can't curse. Are you a God's blessing or you're God's curse? See, the curses came permitted by God. God was the one who put the first curses on them. He cursed the serpent, didn't He? Cursed the man, cursed the woman, and kicked them out of the garden. When you read that, you know the only one that could lift the curse is God. That's why He sent Jesus to lift the curse. And He has given us all authority. I still can't get over how much we forget the authority that God has given us. How He tells us, submit yourself to God. You know what that means? Get into the Word. Submit yourself to the Word. Do the Word. And when you can't get into the Word, ask God to teach you the Word. And the Word will reveal to you compassion for yourself. Forgiveness for yourself. You know, there are people that have not been forgiven themselves. They still live on a guilt trip. Or who they were before. You're dead.
If you're remembering that, you need to die. Because God tells us that we have been born again. Those old things have passed away. Here they become what?
New. Please live in the newness of life. That God may be able to continue to give you victory. When your battles come, pick up your shield. Fight. There's no free tickets. This is a battle. A battle that's already won. But it's a battle. We already won the battle, but you got to submit yourself to God. You got to resist. Hold on. We're in a storm, but the ship ain't going to sink. And the ship that sink, that what happened to Paul? God's going to pull you out on the other side. There's going to be no loss of life. Because the one that's in charge of this ship is God. Through Jesus Christ. Angels that are there for your help. You are victorious. Overcomer. Your children are blessed. Don't curse them anymore. Don't say they're no good. Don't say you don't understand what's going on in their life. You understand that the enemy's after them. I rebuke them. He's after you too. Anoint them. Some of them don't want to be. While they sleep, go in and say, I anoint you in the name of the Lord. May everything that is not there be gone in Jesus' name. Anoint them. And have faith. And believe. And trust. Give them the word. My pastor, may he rest in peace. He had two rebellious sons. Jamie and Arlene. And he couldn't talk to them, Jim. They would not listen. They were highly rebellious. And you know what he used to do? He used to go at night, 2-3 o'clock in the morning. He always had a chair in their room. They never knew what the chair was for. And he would sit in the chair, and very soft voice, he would read the word. He would read 2 or 3 psalms, and then he would sing a song, very soft. And then he would get up, go to the next room, do the same thing. 4 years later, Ali was the organ player of the church. And Jamie became an evangelist. Because while they were sleeping, in the quietness and tranquility of their room, the word was going in. You know, sometimes our children, they go to bed listening to all this craziness on television. That stays in the subconscious. The enemy works through that. We have to be able to rebuild our homes and our lives. You want deliverance? Deliverance comes through knowing the word of God. Deliverance comes to departing from those things that you know that are wrong. Deliverance also comes that as you seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, God will reveal to you the things that were in your ancestors. How does He do that? I don't know. I know that there's thoughts that will come into your mind, and someone will say, your grandparents were into witchcraft. Your grandparents were into this, and your DNA is all messed up. And you know what I've done to my DNA? I took it under the blood. And I said, Lord, I'm going to drown this in the blood of Christ. Why do I drown it? Because they got to die. And the blood of Christ redeems me. Brings me back. I don't have to worry about it too much. I know that it tries to come back. You heard what I said? That little word, try. But it can't come back. You could keep on knocking, but you're not coming in. The enemy. There's a book that we want to be able to get out, and it's called The Reality of God in You. And then it shows all these other spirits and all these other demons outside of you. And they're walking towards you. But every time they get 3 steps in front of you, they got to run back. Because right in front of you, there are 3 steps called God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That are right in front of you. When Jesus left, He said, I will give you my spirit, and I will send that it will be with you and in you. And then He also told us that the doors of hell cannot prevail. Do you know that verse? It can't prevail. So why are we not, if we are children of the living God, practice that faith? If you need deliverance because something has
attack you and got in the end, we could do that in the name of Jesus. My congregation, by the grace of God, or the congregation that belongs to God, that God put in my hand to try to pastor and to help me, myself, needing help. Every Thursday and Tuesday we teach. We teach to be able to allow them to understand that they're more victorious. We teach them to be able to be prayerful and to rebuke and to cast out and to bind. I even tell them, you know what? When you feel cocky enough, bind them in the name of the Lord. Say, come here. I'm going to grab you out of here and I'm going to bind you with a golden rope and I'm coming. Get out and walk them out the door. Sometimes you got to illustrate things. There are times that you guys, and you open up the door and you say, you know what? Get out. You don't belong here no more. And people sometimes think you're crazy. But if you do not take control of who you are, and you do not practice your free will, the enemy will play for the rest of your life. You got to be able, if you're in bondage, I want to set you free. If you're in a prison, I want to open up the prison doors. I want to pull you out. But after I pull you out, I want you to learn how to stay free so you don't fall back into that prison. And it's important because now, Jim said it the other day, you're a soldier in God's army. You've been prepared for battle, no matter what age. See those little young people? God called us when we were young too. Called my daughter when she was young. Called my daughter Angela when she was young. She's still young, even though she thinks she's 80 years old, but you know, that's... She got a mind. But the idea is that God calls us since our mother's womb. Wasn't that real? Yeah. Did God call Jeremiah?
Absolutely.
When he was in his mother's womb, did God call Paul? Mm-hmm. I want you to know that before you were born, you were called. When you were in your mother's womb, even though that they were in sin or whatever they may be, you were called. Then you wouldn't be here now. You were chosen to make a difference. And then there are people that are chosen to make a larger difference. So let us stay in our office. I pray sometimes, I say, Lord, why didn't you allow me to be born in your word? Because my mother, my father did not serve the Lord. My mother had me when she was 14 years old. And my father was 30. And they lasted 51 years and had 9 kids. So my father must have said, I'm going to take care of this young, skinny little woman. It was a little thing, and I had 4'8". Never ever got heavy. She was about 87 pounds weight. Good looking lady, you know. My mama was good looking. Every time she walked down the street in the projects, all these guys were looking. I'd be looking, well, I'll fight you looking at my mommy. Oh, yeah, my mommy. Yeah, my mommy was good looking. And imagine, she had me, and she was 14, I was her friend. So we walked down the street, and one day they arrested her because they thought she was playing hooky from school. Yeah? But she loved God, but she didn't know how to serve Him because no one had ever introduced her to the gospel. One day she met the gospel, and the gospel writer. And the gospel writer started to do a job. She was never 100% in the Lord, never, but she was in the Lord. But she gave birth to me. And when I met the Lord, I've been ups and downs because the battles are going to come. I've been through the valley and through the mountains. But God has kept us. You're going to go through something. Do not give in to the enemy. I'm going to ready to close and rebuke in the name of the Lord. I do it a little bit different. Sometimes I mention all the demons and that they got to go out. But I like to sometimes look at certain areas and see what the Lord reveals in whatever is there because there's a personal thing that is there. There are some things that bother more than others. And those are the things that I want the Lord to reveal because if He reveals it, it got to go in the name of the Lord. Because I know that He is the revealer. He is the Savior. And I know that when He touches your heart, the enemy can't stay. And let me say this, my brothers and sisters, as much as it's important that sometimes the enemy may want you to feel that he's inside of you, but he's around you, trying to get in. I rebuke him in the name of Jesus. I want you to know that sometimes the person that's standing in front of you is a big bully. He's not inside of you, but he put his fear inside of you and makes you feel that he's going to kill you, but he hasn't killed you yet, and he can't. So I want you to know that that's what the enemy does. He has that power to put the fear of death into your life. But I'm going to tell that spirit right now in the name of Jesus. I command you to be gone in the name of the Lord. I command the homes to be mended in the name of Jesus right now. Spirits of destruction of the homes, hear my voice right now in Jesus' name. Let my voice be anointed through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I speak to you. Spirits destructive of home from generation to generation. Those generational curses that have brought divorces and destruction to the home. I command you in Jesus' name. Get up and get out. Tell them to go. Tell them to go in the name of Jesus right now. Vacate right now and be gone in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit of the living God. We ask you right now to mend that broken heart. To fill, Lord God, the void. And allow the hearts to come together as one. Let two hearts beat together, Father. And let your Holy Spirit bring unity. Unity of family. In the blessed name of Jesus right now. Holy Spirit of the living God. For 1,000 generations, we set loose your blessings, Father. For generations to come, oh Lord, upon the family structure. Every child, Lord, that is here tonight, Father. Whether they're with their friends, grandparents, or whoever, I bring the blessing of deliverance to them, Lord. For thou hast said that the children belong to thee, Lord God. Hear me, Spirit. Demons of destruction of children. That you have been around for a long time, but your power stops now in the name of Jesus. You will not touch them anymore. Right now, in Jesus' name, we command you to hear our voice right now. That God is our Savior, our protector, and the Savior of our children. We put him under the protection of the Spirit of the living God. Father God, through the faith of the parents, the faith of the grandparents, the faith of the church, we bind the strong man in their family and call them out. Get out in the name of Jesus. Be thou God. Be thou God in Jesus' name. And let the blessings of the Lord be upon every child, every family. And may that child be a blessing to the family. Because Psalm 127 says that the children are a blessing to the family. And that the children are an inheritance. And when you have children, it is your home is strong. And when children pray, God listens. When grandparents pray, God listens. And we close by knowing that if God is with us, you got to believe that he is. And you got to remove the if. And believe that he will protect you. And that he will protect your family. And that he will never forsake you. You got to know that and believe it. No matter what you see with your naked eye. And every time that the enemy comes, tries to come back, here's what happens. The Lord will warn you. You know what keeps the Antichrist away? A praying church. A church that dares to believe that the political powers that is going to be incarnated cannot rule over the Lord's church. So I give you, let us be praying people, but let us be believing and trusting that the Lord is with you. And he will never forsake you. He will never leave you. He is your Father. And we are his children. May the blessings of the Lord be upon you. As we travel back tomorrow, it's been a pleasure to be here with you. Like my daughter said, we will be back, and I pray that one day I would bring all my children and my grandchildren here. There won't be enough space, but we will make it happen, because there is something that they have to also receive and learn. Every place we go, we learn something, and we become family. So I want to thank Jim, and I want to thank Glenn, and I want to thank the whole staff for receiving us and having us here with you. I thank you that you received this little Puerto Rican as a blood brother.
under one blood, and we realize that there are no Puerto Ricans, there are no other people, but just people that have been redeemed with the precious blood of the Lamb of God. May the peace of God be with you and your family, and may you continue to prosper. God bless you. Thank you.
Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.